Secretary of State Rex Tillerson had more tough language for Iran today after announcing this week that the Iran nuclear deal is under review. It's just one of many foreign policy challenges facing the Trump administration. And joining us now to talk about them is Sir John Sars, who is the former head of the British Secret Intelligence Service, MI6. He's now chairman of the consulting firm Macro Advisory Partners. Sir John Sars, welcome back to Here and Now.
No, thank you, Jeremy. Nice to be back.
And let's start with Iran. The U.S. Secretary of State has accused Iran now of alarming ongoing provocations aimed at destabilizing the Middle East and undermining America's interests. But the U.S. also says that Iran is complying with the nuclear deal. What do you think is true?
Well, I think both things are true. I think the trigger for this statement was the need to roll over the sanctions exemptions that the administration have to do. They didn't want it to look as though they'd given up on an Iran policy and of being critical about the nuclear agreement. I think the nuclear agreement is worth keeping. It's an important, though not perfect, way of getting Iran to desist from developing nuclear weapons. But just because the nuclear issues, we have some assurance on them, it doesn't mean that Iranian behavior is acceptable. We're seeing across the Middle East the Iranians undermining the security of countries, whether it's Yemen or Bahrain, and propping up regimes like the one in Damascus. So there are genuine serious concerns about the about Iran's behavior in the region.
Do you think that the nuclear deal will be kept based on what you're hearing?
Well, it's hard to predict the decisions of the U.S. administration. I think they're still bedding down. They're still working out what to think on major issues. From my perspective, I was involved in the early stages of negotiating that deal when we first began that process with Iran back in 2003 and was involved up until 2009. I think it's a deal that's worth having. My main criticism of it is that the timelines are too short. They should be longer than they are at the moment. But I think it would be certainly in America's interests and the wider international interest to keep the agreement in place whilst ensuring that it's being implemented rigorously on the Iranian side.
And what about with North Korea and what has been happening there? A ship from the U.S. was supposedly heading in the direction, and then it turned out that that was not the case. People questioning the credibility of the Trump administration based on that, but also just increasing rhetoric between North Korea and the United States.
Well, I think the deployment of the ship was a bit of a snafu between the Pentagon and the White House, and these things occasionally happen. The most important point in here is that North Korea poses a very real threat to its neighbors, especially South Korea and Japan, and soon will be able to pose a direct nuclear threat to the United States. So the contrast with Iran is interesting. Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons, and we need to keep it that way. When a country acquires nuclear weapons, as North Korea has, well, the calculations are a lot more complicated, and the judgments that have to be made are a whole lot more difficult.
Do you think North Korea would ever actually use its nuclear weapons?
Well, you can't be sure the answer to that question. And frankly, the most dangerous time for that scenario would be if the Kim Jong-un regime felt that they were under threat and they were about to collapse, and then their behavior would be completely unpredictable. I think the right way forward on this is to build up the pressure on North Korea, and we're seeing that being done, and also engage very intensively and probably quite discreetly with the Chinese authorities. At the moment, Chinese goals and US goals don't overlap, apart from the issue of removing nuclear weapons from the Korean Peninsula. But I don't think either side have really tested the limits of what can be agreed between the two of them. And frankly, a Chinese orchestrated change of regime in Pyongyang, in the North Korean capital, would be a whole lot better for the world than a military strike by the United States.
Do you believe Chinese officials when they say, look, we're doing everything we can, there's nothing more that we could do to pressure North Korea?
Well, no, I don't think that is true. I have a lot of respect for the Chinese. I think the Chinese government system is very effectively administered in China's interests. They will need to take some very difficult decisions if they're to resolve the problems in North Korea on behalf of the international community. I think the only requirement for the international community is that this madman in Pyongyang, Kim Jong-un, no longer threatens the world with his nuclear weapons. And I think if the Chinese can focus on that challenge, then we might have some space for common ground.
What do you think of the idea of a preemptive strike by the United States on North Korea?
Well, I think that is fraught with difficulty because the North Korean nuclear weapons and missiles are buried underground. There are long systems of tunnels, networks of tunnels, and the U.S. military, however good the intelligence coverage, can't be confident that be able to take out the entire capability. And as soon as military action started, then there'd be a North Korean response against the South Korean capital, Seoul, and you'd have tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands, people killed in the exchanges. So it is very much a last resort. It does have to be an option for US policy, but it is certainly not the best way forward. The best way forward would be some form of consensual progress with the Chinese, which at the very least brings an end to the development of the nuclear missile programs, but in the long run has to remove them entirely from the Korean Peninsula.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Sir John Sars, who is the former head of the UK Secret Intelligence Service, MI6. And since we last spoke, there was a terrorist attack where you are in London near Parliament last month that killed five people and injured 50. ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack, but the attacker was born in the UK. Is it possible to stop these kinds of attacks from happening?
Well, the short answer is not entirely. However capable the intelligence services and the security services in free countries in the West, you cannot monitor the activities of everyone who might pose a threat. I don't actually believe this was an ISIS-inspired and planned terrorist attack. It has more in common with the sort of individuals killing people that you have experience with this in the US. When they've got access to weaponry, or in this case a car which the perpetrator hired and just drove into crowds of people on Westminster Bridge. It's almost impossible. I think it is impossible to stop every one of those attacks. In a sense, the more complicated the attack, the greater the opportunities for security and intelligence services to find out about it and to disrupt it. But we're always going to have the threat of an individual, whether they're inspired by religious extremism or they've just got a grievance against society, carrying out these sorts of attacks. And in a sense, this is a price of freedom, that we have to be very vigilant against these attacks. But just occasionally, one or two of these will get through.
Do you think we're winning the fight against ISIS?
Well, certainly the operations in Syria and Iraq are closing down the space for ISIS. But the individuals there who survive, they will disperse and find other locations from which to operate. And I'm afraid not even military operations will kill the ideology. There has to be a process within the Islamic world which challenges and faces down the people who hold these very damaging extremist and violent views. And we're only really seeing the very beginnings of that process in the Islamic world. So we're going to have to deal with the existence of fundamentalist Islam, with an instinct to pursue their goals through violence. That's going to be a feature of the world for some years to come. We just have to equip ourselves to protect ourselves as best we can against it. I'm afraid military operations are not going to destroy it.
One more thing I have to ask you about, since you are a former intelligence official. What do you think about this investigation into Russian meddling in the U.S. election and whether there was coordination between the Russians and people close to Trump? Based on what you've seen at this point, what do you think?
I've not been in the intelligence community for 2.5 years, so I'm reliant mainly on what I read in the media. I think it's clear that the Russians did intervene in the US election. And I think that there's no doubt that the sort of software signature on the interventions could only have come from Russia. Now, there is an investigation underway by the FBI and by the Senate and I think House committees on intelligence into whether there were links with the Trump administration. And I don't have any inside information on that. I think the behavior of one or two people on the fringes of that do raise questions, but only the investigation by the FBI and the congressional committees will get to the bottom of it.
Did you ever, as an intelligence official, try to sway an election somewhere?
No, we didn't. Obviously, we work closely with foreign counterparts, and many of them in countries which weren't democratic. And our main emphasis there was trying to make sure that the way in which they behaved was compliant with our perception and of human rights and our values. So that was always a challenge. But no, I'm glad to say that the only election I've tried to persuade, tried to influence, is the one in this country. And I do that as a private citizen with my own vote.
That's Sir John Sars, the former head of MI6. He is now the chairman of Macro Advisory Partners. Thanks so much for joining us, as always.
Thank you, Jeremy. Much enjoyed it.